We've depended either on faith or the gift of faith or the gift of miracles. But I believe with all of my heart we're actually coming to a place, and I believe that's what the book of Revelations is exposing. We're actually coming to a place to where, as a believer, we're going to have to learn to move into the presence of God and to recognize the presence of God and learn how to receive from God in His presence. Now, truly, tonight in the world, the whole world is in the presence of God. It's in one degree of the presence of God. But as a believer, as we're desiring to be close to God, the closeness of the presence of the Lord has got to become more real. And let me say, if you're facing situations tonight, if you're facing circumstances, the presence of God is what's going to be able to give you the strength and the grace of God to be able to walk through that. And out of the presence of God is going to become the power of God that's going to be able to help you. It all emits from the vast, mighty throne of God. Amen. That's why the book of Revelations talks about the powerful flow that comes out of the very throne of the presence of God. The book of Revelation is so beautiful and exposing that whatever we need comes out of heaven. It comes out from the Lord. But it also gives us, through the New Testament, we're given the right as a believer to come into that presence of God, come into our heavenly position, so to speak. But we're able to come as close to God as we want to. In fact, the Lord said, if you will just draw close to me, God said, I'll draw close to you. He said, if you will come close to me, I will come close to you. And I do believe with all of my heart, it's going to come forth. I believe during this next many years that we're facing, I believe the presence of God is going to be the most sought out thing in believers' lives. And I believe it's the recognition of when you're in the presence of God. Some people are always looking for the presence of God. Then somebody can be standing right there beside you, and you may be in search of it. Someone right there beside you can be sensed in the presence of God. So it's not in location, but it's in heart recognition and heart honor and heart worship and heart praise. So tonight, I just really want us to talk about that, about whatever you need will come out of His presence. So many times for us to be able to make it, to survive at times, sometimes just to hold on is to win, but to be able to come out victorious in whatever it is you're facing, the desire is going to have to be for a greater move into the presence of God. And then the ability to receive. And that's why at the close of our Wednesday night services, we've been having a season of just sitting in the presence of God. And I'm amazed that as some that can receive, that can just sit in the presence of the Lord and just draw into their spirit that which God has for them. And then I'm amazed at others that can just turn and never ever sense God's presence. And I feel sorry for you, because I believe that God's going to help you break through that barrier of your flesh to where that you're going to be able to come to a place where you can sense God's presence. And truly, because healing comes out of the presence of God. The Bible says that His presence was able to heal them all. I mean, there is levels of the presence of God where God can take care of every need in our life. And I do not believe that that's left up only to God. I do believe that according to the New Testament, that we have the opportunity to move in, to recognize and to honor and to receive out of God's presence in a much greater way. So let's turn to Psalms 91. That's what they were just singing about, was Psalms 91. Let's turn to Psalms 91 in the Bible. Now, the Psalms 91 is so wonderful because Psalms 91 is called the covenant psalm. It's called the psalm that covenant children. It's the protection. It's the blessing. It's the healing. Psalms 91 is probably the second most memorized psalm in all the Bible, second only to the 23rd psalm. Because the 23rd Psalm gives you a great sense that you can trust God wherever that seems like that you're walking in life, that He's your shepherd. But then Psalms 91 is such a powerful covenant psalm because it says, I'm able to bless you, I'm able to help you, I'm able to heal you, I'm able to care for you, I'm able to protect you. That's why Psalms 91 is called the Psalm of Protection. Jesus Himself used Psalms 91 when the enemy was opposing him. That he believed in that covenant psalm that he was able to have. Now, it's not so much in teaching tonight, but I just want us to see just a few things in this, and then we're going to allow the very presence of God. We're going to ask God for his presence tonight. How many has already sensed God's presence here? Hasn't it been beautiful? I tell you what, I've never seen anything. How many is enjoying your communion times with God? Isn't that great? If you're not aware of it, there's many, many, many in this church that's taking communion every day personally. And taking that communion at home, usually, or on their job, taking communion believing that the blood of Jesus can handle anything that the enemy would try to raise up against it. And so that blood is able to break through for us. Amen? All right, let's just turn to just a few scriptures. Everybody say, I will fight. I won't let the devil take from me without a fight. Say, without a fight. I will fight. I will fight. That's what Psalms 91 is all about. It's a commitment to fight. I will not allow the enemy to just come in and take from me without a fight. And some believers just lay down and allow the enemy to steal everything precious, everything good from their life. And all the time, and we say, if God would do something about this, but Psalms 91 lets us know God wants to do something about it. And God can empower us as a believer as we walk in covenant with him. Now, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, I love this verse. I just want to give you two or three verses that express God's will over your life. He said, then I myself will be a protective wall. That's what God said. He said, I want to be a protective wall. And that's really what we're taking communion. And you don't forget, please, whatever it takes, make yourself have that time where you take that private communion every day. And that in that little communion kit, there was this little red napkin that symbolizes the wall that we're holding up against the enemy. Because I tell you, it wasn't just any blood. It was God's blood that saved us, that heals us, that changes us. It's not any blood. It's powerful blood. It's the God kind of blood. So he said, I myself will be a protective wall. That's what God's will is. And I believe you tonight that's running from fear of what the devil is trying to attack, I believe you just need to say, Lord, you are my protective wall. I believe a confession of your faith, confession of what you believe that God desires to do in your life. Lord, you are a protective wall of fire around Jerusalem, says the Lord, and I will be the glory inside of her. Deuteronomy chapter 1:30 says, the Lord God is your leader. How many believe he's your leader? How many needs a leader through your battle? If you need a leader, just stand up. Would you write? If you need a leader, just stand. Raise your hand and say, Lord, you lead me. You lead me, Lord. You're my leader. You're leading me. Lead me, God. Lead me. Lead me. And then notice what it says. And he will fight for you with his mighty miracles. How many know it's going to take a miracle of God for God to help you? It's going to, and he said he will fight for us with his mighty miracles. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God will fight for us with his mighty miracles. What does that mean? Whatever it is that the devil is trying to raise up against your life. Whatever, as Jesus drew that line and he said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, that's not me. What is it in John 10:10? He said, you can tell me. He said, I'm the one that comes to give life. But the thief cometh, he said, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'll fight for you. And I'll fight for you with miracles. Lord, I need a miracle tonight. Lord, I need a miracle. And you said you would fight for me with miracles. Wow, isn't that a good verse? Don't you just love that? All right, Revelation 12. And that's my favorite verse probably right now in the whole Bible. Because, see, I'm there. It says, they have conquered him. I don't know what it is. It says, they've conquered him. I know who the him is. And I know who the they. I'm one of those days. I'm one in that crowd. See, this is the future. I mentioned to you that Sunday. This is the future. This is us looking back onto now. This is that great crowd of people in heaven. And this will be our testimony there. The very thing that the devil says you're not going to be able to overcome, he says you one day you will be able to say, I conquered it. I conquered it. But how do we conquer it? What does it say? How do we conquer it? I've conquered it. I've conquered him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of my testimony, because I would not quit talking about the blood of Jesus. And so all the disappointments in your life, while they're there, the enemy surfaces disappointments to try to get you not to be able to talk about the power of God. Because the devil thinks he can get you to look at circumstances long enough and hard enough where you have become more convinced in circumstances than you are the promise of God. But when we finally come to a place where we're more convinced of the promise of God and our surety of his love for us and our trust that he can handle anything and that he can use anything for his glory and that God, according to Romans chapter 8, that he can cause all things to work together for good. Our confidence is in God. And one day we'll be able to look back on now. And we will be part of that day that's standing there in heaven. And we'll be able to say, we, not they there, be we. We've conquered Satan through the blood of the Lamb. And we wouldn't quit talking about it. Amen? All right, now, Psalms 91. And so Psalms 91 is such a powerful, everybody say it's a covenant psalm. Now, because it's covenant, it's based on blood. That's what it's based on. When anything that has representation in the Word of God of covenant is completely based on blood. But it's the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. I'm in covenant. Somebody say, I'm in covenant with the Lord because of Jesus' blood. It's not because I did it right. It's not even because I said it right. It's not because I was able to even sing it right. It's because of the blood of Jesus. That the blood of Jesus has washed my sins away. Somebody just give the Lord a praise that Jesus has washed your... Somebody stand up and shout. Just stand up and give the Lord a shout that he's... Yes, that he has washed your sin away. Yes. 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 Yes, never quit talking about it. That's what it's talking about. Never quit talking about it. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 12. We will overcome. We conquer Satan because of the blood of the Lamb, and we never quit talking about it. We're thankful for his blood that washed away our sin. And because of the powerful blood of Jesus that brought us into right relationship with him, then we're able to read verse 1 of 91 and begin to claim it because we're in covenant with God. Amen. And that's why the protection chapter is ours. Because of his blood. Because of the blood of Jesus, the protection chapter is mine. Wow. Somebody says, does that mean I never have a problem again? Well, the Lord reminded me what happened right to him after he had his last communion service on earth. But then he also reminded us what happened 3 days after that. And what's been happening ever since that. So, communion doesn't say that you'll never have a problem again. But communion says what Revelation chapter 12 says. Communion says, I can take this blood and I can continue to believe and continue to stand. And I can see this blood prevail for me. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He took communion. He took communion even with those that were doubting him and running off and leaving him and then betraying him. But he took communion, and he was able to handle the hardest battle that anyone has ever handled, and then was able to conquer it. Conquer it. Amen. So then Psalms 91 is ours. So you need to know that Psalms 91 is mine. It belongs to me because of the blood of Jesus. Psalms 91 is mine. Now, there's one verse that I really want to talk a few moments and then we'll close tonight. But Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place is who? You need to put that, if you've got a Bible and you're circling, you need to put a circle around he. That's talking about the person that finds the presence of God in the midst of their difficulty. The secret place of the Most High. The presence of God. This whole verse is a poetic type verse. It's revealing people. This is what happens to people, covenant people, that learn to dwell in God's presence. They learn to dwell in God's presence. They learn to hear in God's presence. Their faith is motivated by the presence of God. And they're able to do some extraordinary things because they've become a people that just didn't say God's over there. But they said, you know what? I'm going to take this blood and I'm going to go into this holy place. And this holy place is the presence of God. You know, we always want the Lord to talk to us like he did Samuel. Do you know where Samuel was when the Lord talked to him? You know where he was when he started calling Samuel, Samuel? You know where he was? Remember he went to Eli and said, what's this? You know where he was? He was in the Holy of Holies laying right at the box. Right there at it. That's where he was. That's where he slept. That's what the Bible says. He was right there sleeping. Close to the presence of God. When you live close to the presence of God, you begin to hear things. And that's what happened to Samuel. He was sleeping right by. I don't know if he meant to go to sleep there. I don't know if he was there worshiping God. He fell asleep at the altar. I don't know. But he was at the altar when God said, Samuel, Samuel. See, when you get close enough, you can hear God's whispers. People that learn to dwell in the presence of God. And that's what he's talking about right here. As he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. That word abide means you never leave it. And God's looking for people, a blood-bought people, that will not allow their agitation to be their atmosphere. That will not allow their fear to be their atmosphere. That will not allow their battle to be their atmosphere. But will learn to literally to sit down and take a seat in the presence of God and refuse, no matter what they're going through. They refuse to get out of God's presence. They become a people of God's presence. And so that's what Psalms 91, in fact, the first verse qualifies all the rest of the verses, all the other 15 verses. It's qualified by verse 1. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Where's he? He abides there. He lives there. Makes his home there. Where do you live? Oh, I live on Frustration Street. Where do you live? Oh, I live on Anxiety Avenue. Where do you live? Oh, I live on Worry. God says no. The Lord said, I'm looking for a people that will make their home in the shadow of the Almighty God. That will literally make the place that they live. Next verse says, this I declare. You know, the amazing thing about being in the presence of God, immediately your mouth opens right. If you're not in the presence of God, your mouth opens wrong. You know that, right? But see here, immediately the person that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides in the shadow. Then what? This I declare. Immediately there's this tremendous confidence that begins to swell up in the person that has found the presence of God and say, you know what? I'm going to handle everything in life from here. And the devil would try to do everything he can to get you out. They say, no, I'm going to sit here in the presence of God. I'm going to trust the Lord. And some, but I understand. But I'm going to sit here in the presence of God. I'm not going to allow anything. That's what God's looking for in us. God's looking for a people that will say, you know, I'm not going to allow anything. Anything. Because if I get out there, I'm on my own. If I stay in the presence of God, I'm on His own. So I'm going to stay here in the presence of God. Amen. So, and then immediately your mouth flies open right. And immediately that's what happens. So I declare, a person that finds God's presence and senses God's presence and recognizes God. There's some of you tonight that just need to start with base number one. You need to begin to recognize or acknowledge God's presence. It first has to start with that acknowledgement. I will acknowledge the Lord is here. Or I will acknowledge God is with me. You know what? That one little thought could change in our day if we just say, Lord, God, you're with me. Sometime I may not feel you. Sometime I may not even sense you. Sometime I may be feeling the breath of the enemy and the frustrations that's running around. But Lord, I acknowledge that you're with me. And always starts with the acknowledgement before it becomes experiential in your life. So you have to begin to first believe that God is trustworthy enough to believe that He's always with you. You'll never leave. I love, some of you know that the biggest battle I ever fought in my life was that God loved me. Because that was the biggest basic fear I fought in every area, that I was unloved. But for 40-something years, God never ever ceases to want to tell me that He loves me. To let me know. So I don't know what God may need to tell you to help you. All God has to do is tell me He loves me. That rings my bell, honey. Sometimes I may hear that 20 times a day. I just stop and say, Lord, do you love me? Now, after 5 million times, I should be convinced. But God still loves to tell me. I don't know what it is that the Lord needs to whisper into your ear or to help you to convince you that God is with you. That you don't have to handle things in the flesh. That you don't have to face fear. That you do not have to be ruled by the enemy. I don't know what it is that God needs. But in His presence, you will find that. Let me get on. For He will... Then it says, this I declare. Everybody say, I declare. He alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He is my God. And I trust Him. Two things that keep you in the presence of God. Number one is the declarations that God is with you. You declare that, believe in that, that God's with you. The second thing is trusting Him. Is literally being able to lean your life on Him. Say, God, I trust you. Whatever it is I'm facing, whatever it is, I don't understand, God. I trust you. Then the promises again, 7 major promises. For He will rescue from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. Isn't that wonderful? He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. I wish we could talk, we'd stop and talk, but we can't. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. God's promises become our armor. Somebody said, Jerry, I don't know. The devil's just fighting me with such doubt. The promises are your armor. Then Psalms 91:5 says, do not be afraid, because you can't fear and trust at the same time. You've got to acknowledge your trust in God and make a decision to resist any fear that you would have. Because I don't care who you are, you will begin to sink when you fear. Peter proved that to us. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he could defy natural gravity, in fact. He could walk on the water. But the very moment that he began to fear, he began to sink. Our problems are not usually the devil. Our problems are usually the fear. Because it's not the devil that's going to make you sink. It's the fear that tries to make you sink. He says, don't be afraid. Now, he continued this. He said, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow flies by. Do not dread. Everybody said, do not dread. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Then he says, never run comparisons. You got to know that I love you. That's the only way you can sit in God's presence. Because the moment you begin to run comparisons, then you won't believe you measure up. You can't run comparisons. You got to say, though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 right hand, but Lord, my confidence is in you. He said, just open your eyes and you'll see. Then Psalm 91:9, it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make, notice the if you make him, if you make the Most High your shelter, then it says, no evil will conquer you. Somebody just needs to stand up right in here and say, no evil is going to conquer me. You're being afraid of being conquered, and the devil's telling you. But you need to declare that. You need, whatever it is that's evil, whatever it is that's evil, you need to begin to not be afraid of it. Don't dread it. You need to begin to declare it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. Go ahead and say it. I'm not afraid of it. Kenny, could you help me? Don, could you just lift up over these right here? We're going to go ahead and close now with a sense of the presence of the Lord. Jeremy, I want you to go to what I would normally call the fire video. Skip the other video if you would. The Bible says that literally that we conquer through the blood and through the surrendered life. Made communion in a little different way tonight because I felt like the Lord wanted each person in here what is it that the Lord has put in your heart to conquer? What is it? You must hear the That's the thing God wants His blood to reveal. You must hear the sound of His presence. Whatever it is that the Lord has put in your heart, where nothing matters but the voice, the sound. That He wants you to conquer, then you are the conqueror of that with the blood of Jesus working in your life. Some of you are fearing disease. Everything else has to Some of you are fearing separation. The loudest thing you hear is His voice saying, Some of you are fearing rebellious children. Some of you, if you're in trying to deal with life differently, I believe that every person here, that God will help you to realize what it is you need to conquer. And this communion tonight is dedicated to that which God has empowered for you to conquer. Many of us have tried to do it on our own. God says His blood is the power to conquer the enemy. So that's what communion is. Communion comes both sides of that. Communion comes my declaration that the blood of Jesus is able to conquer that enemy. It's also my faith. I take communion tonight just not for a memory. I take communion for the power of God. The Bible says you don't have to take it like that. The Bible says for that, then many are sick and weakly and even sleep among you. But it says there's a lot of people can take communion not realizing the power that's offered in that communion. And the Bible says if you take communion in that way, then you will be weak. That you won't prevail. But the Bible says that if you take communion with the declaration of what Revelation 12:11 has told us, Latanya, we conquer it through the blood of the Lamb. Build a house for your glory. Come. That's why on that day, that great day of victory in heaven, when we're all standing before the throne of God, there will not be one of us that think that we deserve the crowns that have been graciously given to us through our conquering master. But we will take those crowns and we will cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus. Because we know that is Jesus. It's Jesus that prevailed in our life. So Lord, I ask you to take this communion tonight. You would take this season of communion, O Lord God. And you would bless it. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to let every person here partake of their communion between them and you, Lord. Let it be powerful. What is it, Lord, that you've put in each person here that you have put in their heart to speak the power to conquer it, Lord? The power to overcome it. The power to prevail against it. The power to stand in it. The power to walk through it. The power to overcome. Lord, we take communion tonight in your presence, in Jesus' name. We're going to turn the lights very low tonight because of this. I said it was going to be a unique communion. It's not going to be a led communion tonight. All you and anyone that believes in the power of the cross is welcome to take communion tonight. But you just simply come and take one little container that will have your cracker and take a little. There's something special that when you drink communion tonight, there's something special God wants you to believe for. There's something that's been needing to break in your life for a long time. And it seems like it won't break. But God tonight is going to have it. And then we're just going to sit in His presence. Every person be dismissed to leave whenever you want to. Learn to draw from God's presence. Learn to have church with just you and God. Learn to love the presence of God. Learn to love the presence of God. Bring the lights low if you would. Bring them quite a bit low for us. We want to be private tonight. And you come on. If you sense the presence of the Lord, come on. If you sense the presence of God, come on. Begin to move toward communion. Just come and you can go anywhere in the building. Go back to your seat.